Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Brayden Suprenant. Thanks again for downloading and listening to The Brayden Suprenant Show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can also catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Plus, stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and subscribe to my YouTube page at BSURP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show, at BSURP show. Now, let's get into the show.
It's such eyewash, dude. It's such eyewash. I don't know what's more eyewash, that or like the tweet every time. I am beyond blessed to get an offer from so-and-so. Bro, nobody cares. I know that's harsh, but dude, nobody cares, bro. I just get over it. It's like, look at me. I got an offer. All right, dude. Sick. Is it even a committable offer? I mean, I work in high school and college athletics. Most of the time, they're not even committable offers. They're not even committable. They're like, oh, I got an offer from so-and-so. And you're like, really? Then you talk to the coaches there, and they're like, yeah, we didn't really offer them that. Or it's not a real offer. Until you get the piece of paper in your hand and you can sign it, it's not an offer. I have people, I have, it's funny talking to youth coaches. Like, well, he has an offer. He's been offered by this school since he was in eighth grade. No, he
hasn't. Cool.
He hasn't. You can't do that. You can't get an offer until I think you're a junior. It's a legit offer. Them sending you like pamphlets of like, oh, hey, we're Ohio State. You're a prospective athlete. What do you think about Ohio State? Come to our camp and pay a bunch of money to us. And then kids go like, oh, I was offered by Ohio State. No, you weren't. Ohio State wants you to pay to do their camp. That's the reality of the situation. It's true. It's the camp invites. Those colleges want you to go to their camps because they make money off of it. And it's free recruiting for them, and they don't have to go leave. They run the camp. You pay them money. It's great. You don't have an offer until at least you're a junior. Like, hey, it's just not... I love you. Like, seventh grade kids, like Pop Warner kids. Like, oh, you know, he's already got three offers from what? They're not committable. He can't commit to the school. That means it's not an offer. Hey, if you know, we can't really sign you yet, but like, you know, if you were a junior, we'd give you an offer. You know, so just and every school does that to try to like convince you to go to their school. Because if they're like, if you do that early, Frank, it's first of all, it's not committable. So if I'm USC and I get these kids early and I give them this offer that's not committable, which means they can't, if they suck, it doesn't burn me because I'd just be like, oh, there's no offer. And if they're good, you could be the team that goes, hey, we offered you first. Remember this? And these kids like to post on their social media. I mean, a lot of the kids that post on social media on some of these offers, they're not even real. So many kids like this. You're like, oh, well, that's not a real offer. It's hilarious. That's why this is the signing day stuff. It's crazy. Everybody gets those offers. Not committable. They're not committable. Until you physically sign the dotted line, it doesn't mean anything. Same thing with the I mean, nowadays with the portal, it's crazy. You can only get an offer starting as a junior. Everybody that's got these offers before, they're not committable offers. So, like, when people tell you, like, oh, my son's got whatever, my daughter's got whatever, they don't. Those schools might be interested, but that's not a piece of paper you can sign on the dotted line and be ready to go. So, today is National Signing Day. Today is the day that you actually can physically sign that dotted line and sign the paper, and you are now part of that school. Congratulations to everybody that's doing that today. From a fan perspective, it's nothing to really look at. Perhaps the kids should have agents. I mean, at this day and age, they probably should. I mean, a lot of the current college kids have agents. 833-288-9973, 833-288-9973. We are the Brayden Soprano Show. We are live and local each every day from 10 to 2 on San Diego's Urban Sports Station, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get to what's going on in Major League Baseball, Frank. Got a couple of news and notes from the Toronto Blue Jays and the New York Mets.
That we do, including one that I did not put on the sheet because I was done writing the show at 3:30, and this happened after that. The Toronto Blue Jays.
I just
Jays.
Love how you have to let you air out all your grievances of how you did stuff.
The Toronto
TMI, Frank.
Oh, no,
TMI.
Oh, no. I was very happy that I was done writing the show at 3:30.
How about Sam in the chat? You're telling me that my unborn class of 2048 child didn't get a real offer from Alabama yesterday?
No kidding.
No, they didn't. Stop believing the BS from other parents that want to brag about their kids.
Please,
did I say that part
stop.
Out loud? I did.
Please stop believing.
This is okay. Why every parent think. This is why 20% of parents think their kids are going to be D1 athletes.
Well,
fake offers.
There you go. The Blue Jays, already with one of the best rotations in baseball, just flexed their muscle again. They've agreed to terms with right-hander Cody Ponce on a 3-year, $30 million deal, a source confirms to MLB.com. A fascinating move to land the 31-year-old who has been reborn after four seasons pitching in Japan and in Korea. Last season, Ponce, a 2015 second-round pick of the Milwaukee Brewers, who saw parts of two big league seasons and pitched in the minors for six, made the jump to Korea with the Hanwha Eagles. Sorry. And it all came together with a 1.89 ERA and 252 strikeouts over 180 and two-thirds innings. A stunning number in a league full of quality contact hitters. That set a single-season record in strikeouts in the KBO. A remarkable season that included an 18-strikeout game in May and earned him a league MVP award. So Ponce, one of the value pickups that we thought would be good here, goes north of the border.
Thought he was going to be a good pickup for the Padres. I agree with you. What did you say he signed for?
He signed for 3 years, 30.
$10 million a year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an affordable arm that you would hope would be in the hands of the San Diego Padres. Good for the Blue Jays. They spent big money on Dylan Cease, added some rotation depth with Ponce on a pretty cheap deal, 3 years, $10 million. It's a good move, I think, for Toronto. Toronto's spending some money. Right? They got a taste, Frank.
Yep.
They got the taste of the World Series. They want to go win the damn thing.
And that's what they're saying. I saw it on Twitter scrolling through, is that last year's run completely shifted the mindset of the organization. They are now expected to spend on the level of the Dodgers, the Mets, the Yankees, the Cubs, the Red Sox. They are expected to go big. Speaking of which, the Blue Jays made franchise history by signing Dylan Cease to a 7-year, $210 million deal, which, by the way, go to John Heyman's Twitter account if you want to see the specifics of that contract, though. Those were released today. Strengthening an already deep rotation. However, they are still exploring to add another starter.
Well, Adam said, like, haven't the Blue Jays always been in it to win it? Yeah, they actually they're actually signing guys this time, though.
Yeah.
They're not the bridesmaid anymore.
Toronto remains engaged in free agency with names like Michael King, Chris Bassett, and Max Scherzer possibilities. And the trade market, where they have previously shown interest in Twins starter Joe Ryan and national starter Mackenzie Gore. Lesser-known option Cody Ponce, who's dominated KBO, has already signed. Beyond starting pitching, Toronto is also targeting bullpen help, including Rays reliever Pete Fairbanks, and monitoring high-end position players such as Kyle Tucker and returning Bo Bichette. They are going for it.
Yeah, like I said, they got to take. They've tried in the past, but they're actually getting people to sign. So now it's like you got the hot hand. They kept putting it on red, coming up empty. You know what? They put it on black and hit, and now they're continuing to do it over and over and over again.
Well, maybe we should switch.
Yes.
Moving on. Mets likely to trade Jeff McNeil, with the Mets signing Marcus Semien, well, trading for Marcus Semien.
We talked about this before.
Yes. Jeff McNeil has become one of the most likely MLB players to be traded this offseason. ESPN's Jeff Passan and Kylie McDaniel listed him with an 80% chance of being dealt, the highest among the top 25 trade candidates. New York may even need to absorb part of McNeil's remaining contract to facilitate a move, although the Mets have previously resisted trading him because of his defensive versatility and reliable bat. Semien's arrival at second base leaves McNeil without a natural role. MLB.com's Mark Feinsand also identifies McNeil as a strong trade candidate this winter.
We talked about this earlier. Again, he's making $12.5 million. You got to pay him for another year. That's it. He's on a one-year deal. If you want to have him for another year, it's a club option. He's 33 years old. He's a valuable trade piece, I think, in terms of what you can get in the open market for $12.5 million. He's not atrocious. He's a very versatile player and a very likely candidate to get traded after they went and got Marcus Semien. So he's got to help a contending team, Jeff McNeil.
And there's also a litany of issues that come around Jeff McNeil. Right now, it's the position battle with him and Marcus Semien, which he ain't winning that position battle.
No, not when the other guy's making double what you're making.
Him and his reported issues with Francisco Lindor off the field, those have really come to light again over the course of this offseason. That and the Mets also have to try to find some spots here for some younger guys who they've stacked up to play. Luis Angel Acuna, he has nowhere to play. Jet Williams is coming up as a shortstop. He's got nowhere to go. Ronnie Mauricio, they've waited on him for years. Finally starting to show some stuff. He's got nowhere to play. Mark Vientos and Brett Beatty now, that third base issue is in limbo. So the Mets need to find places for some players to play. They need a little bit more wholesomeness in their clubhouse.
They need to be more wholesome.
And
they should bake cookies together.
McNeil is
Christmas cookie,
yeah, exactly,
celebration.
McNeil appears to be a part of the problem.
They should bake some cookies, make some hot chocolate, and go walk down Candy Cane Lane.
Well, you know.
They need to be more wholesome.
I was looking for a word that wasn't there. And no, he has not been a reliable bat. He is one of those guys who would hit 320 that has now tried to go for more power, and it has not worked.
Update on signing day. Penn State's now dropped to 150. They are one spot above Prairie View A&M for the recruiting class and a spot behind South Dakota State. Another Penn State guy committed to Virginia Tech. The Penn State Barstool account today is hilarious. Hilarious. It's good stuff. And I want to go back to, again, what I was saying earlier. From a fan perspective, fans of the team, the college teams that have signing day today, it doesn't mean anything. But for the kids and the family signing, it's a great day for them. It's a great day for them. I don't know how many times I have to continue to say that. But there it is on the signing day stuff. McNeil, I think McNeil's a decent pickup for a lot of teams. I don't think he fits here in San Diego.
No, he would not.
You know, you'd have to trade Cronenworth. I'd probably still rather have Cronenworth than Jeff McNeil, even though you'd only have to pay McNeil for one more year. But Jake Cronenworth doesn't fit the Mets either. they already have all their same position problems that we would have in the same particular sense. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Keep you updated on the signing day stuff. We will also get to some interesting news with Major League Baseball in terms of a fan council. Is this something Major League Baseball to test the labor solutions?
The fan council was not made for this. The fan council was made to kind of get a gauge of what the fan is thinking about the current product.
Correct. Is this something that is done in fair, or is MLB spinning it to their own favor? We'll talk about that at 11:30. But when we come back, Joe Musgrove was on with the morning show, and he talked a lot of different things about obviously getting ready for next year, how he feels, but he was asked what he thinks about Mason Miller potentially being a starting pitcher. We'll hear from Joe when we come back on the Braden Surprenant Show, San Diego Sports Station 97.3.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The fan. Unfortunately, it's making fun of your Penn State Nittany Lions. But it's funny.
Of course it is.
There he goes. Reverend Murphy 3 hours ago. Since Penn State opens next season with Marshall, Temple, and Buffalo, I guess Nittany Lions really don't need to hire a coach until September 26th when Big Ten play starts. Shots fired at all those schools, too, by the way.
I mean,
A. Should be able to beat those schools, regardless.
Hey, we got a bowl game to play, don't we?
Yeah, that's 6-6. Remember to listen at 1 o'clock.
Bless you.
For us to announce today's biggest fan for a chance to qualify for a night in our Odyssey suite at a future Padres game with all the fan staff, register your name at 97thefansd.com/biggestfan in order to potentially have your name called. 1 o'clock.
Just found one that's getting named to the NCAA all names team list.
What, on the biggest fan?
No. On as far as who was signed today on National Signing Day.
What do we got?
Ethan Feaster has signed with the USC Trojans. However, the name that Fox College Football posted was his nickname. Booby Feaster.
Booby Feaster.
Has signed with USC.
Bless you. Like Booby Miles, but slightly different.
Welcome to the NCAA All Names team.
Welcome to This Is Why College Football is the Greatest Sport Ever. Everything with Lane Kiffin, everything with memes and players' names. Booby Feaster. What position does he play?
I don't know.
What position does Booby play?
I don't. And
Eddie can pass. Booby Miles. He can run, he can catch, and he can pass. Booby Feaster. Amazing. All right. I mean, USC is, I mean, they've had guys like General Booty. Yes. And they've had guys like Booby Feaster. Booby Feaster. What a name. Phrasing. All right, let's get to Joe Musgrove, who was on with Ben and Woods.
No kidding.
Earlier today. First thing they asked Joe was, how is he feeling?
How is he feeling? That is a very good question. One that I will allow him to answer right now.
Yeah, everything's feeling good, man. I mean, the year of not throwing competitively, you know, did a lot of good for my body. I feel like I addressed a lot of little issues that I had that have been lingering. And the arm's feeling good. I'm back throwing, lifting, you know, on a normal off-season progression.
Feeling good. How close was he to potentially pitching in October?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in the fact that we didn't get there, I could say absolutely I would have been out there. but, yeah, dude, I did feel good. You know, we had, like, some tight windows at the end where, you know, I had to work through a couple days where I didn't feel my best. You know, not necessarily felt bad, but, you know, throughout the whole process, we were able to kind of take days when I needed it. And towards the end, we were just out of days. So I had to stay pretty consistent with the program I was on. So we missed like a week and a half towards the end of the season. And I came out of that feeling really good. So, you know, I guess if we make it to the World Series, you know, NLCS, I think I had a shot at it.
I don't know if he would have pitched or not. I mean, the fact that he had gotten to the point where he was feeling good enough to pitch at that point is good news for 2026 and him being ready to do it in this year's, in spring training and everything else like that. So I think that's the good news. Now, he's a guy that is built up. He knows how to get built up for a starting pitcher, to be a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. He obviously knows Mason Miller now after being on the same team with him the last year. What is Joe Musgrove's thoughts about Mason Miller potentially being a starter, if he has the ability to do it?
That's a kind of popular topic right now.
really
I think, you know, when you look at it from the person that's making the decisions who we're getting, you're always looking at, you know, what the market's like and what players are available. So I think the idea that we're talking about those guys is the fact that, you know, relievers might be a little more attainable than some of the big frontline starters. And having big power arms like that who have started in the past, you know, I could definitely see it being something successful. But you look at, you know, what those guys do for our bullpen and how they set things up on the back end of games, and just the execution rate in those one inning to, you know, one plus roles, it's damn near unhittable, man. So it's hard to take them away from a role that they're so successful in, but if it makes the team better and these guys are interested in wanting it, you know, that's a big part of it. These guys have to want it. You can't force someone into a role and expect the same level of, you know, execution and, you know, not dedication, because these guys are competitors. They want to win, but you got to feel it. You know, you got to want it, and you got to be willing to take on what it is to be a starting pitcher in the big league. So those are conversations that, you know, they need to have, and questions it's hard for me to answer, but those are two massive arms that, you know, I would love to see in the starting rotation. But if that's not the move they make, you know, we're absolutely comfortable with them being on the back end of our bullpen. It's hard to expect 104,
right,
you know, out of a starting rotation. You know, it's going to be a different type of pitcher. He's going to have to use his other weapons more often. He's going to have to, you know, expand the arsenal. So it changes a lot of things. It's not as easy as just sticking someone in the starting role and saying, throw that stuff for seven innings.
Joe's 100% right on both of those things. One, he's not going to throw 104 miles an hour. I mean, let me ask you this question. Like, Hunter Green is the guy that throws the hardest as a starting pitcher on average at 99 miles an hour.
Yeah.
If Hunter Green was a bullpen arm, he's probably throwing what Mason Miller's throwing.
Oh, yeah.
Probably throwing like 104 miles an hour. Just to kind of a guess. I mean, who knows if he would be able to do that or not, but that's kind of my guess. So when you look at it from the other perspective, I mean, his velo is going to go way down. Which is not a bad thing. It's how he's going to make it through multiple innings. So his fastball is going to be at 90-something instead of at 100-something, right? You're not going to get the full him going all out for the three batters or the one inning that he's pitching, because he has to make it through four to six innings. And then he has to do that every 5 days. The other one, and the most important part of that answer from Joe Musgrove, was he's got to want it. Mason Miller has to want it. Being interested in doing it is one thing. Mason Miller wanting it is another. I'd be interested in a lot of things, but that doesn't mean I'm all in, right? Like, Mason Miller has to be all in 100%. I really want this in order for it to work. And if Mason Miller is all in 100% wants to do it, and he's going to put all his time and effort into being a starting pitcher, then I'm all for it. But if he's like kind of on the fence and doesn't really lean either way, you don't want to try to force it. As Joe said, he said it perfectly. It's an interesting conversation. But again, like, Mason Miller has to want it, Frank, if they're going to move him to the starting rotation. Not like, I'm interested. It's, give me the ball, I want to do it.
Yeah, you can't be half-hearted when you're doing stuff like that, because it'll never work out. You have to be 100% invested in doing it if you want to get the best results. And if it doesn't work, then it just doesn't work. But if he's not, if his heart isn't in it, if he's not 100% with it, you're never going to get near what the potential can be. So, yeah, absolutely.
What about Adrian Morahone? That's the other name that's been popping up a lot.
Yeah, you know, the coolest thing is to see the people that have been around this kid since he was, you know, a young kid in the Padres organization. And to see, you know, their level of excitement and joy for who he's become, because I've seen it over the handful of years that I've been here, and there's been people that have been around him, you know, a lot longer and seen a lot longer of a transition. But in the time I've seen him, like, truly grow up. His work ethic has increased, his dedication to, you know, game planning and, you know, putting more effort into the scouting side of the game has increased. And just the person, man, he's the most humble, like, loving dude, but one of the most fierce competitors on our team. And it's a guy that, you know, everyone had all the confidence in, and I don't know if he had enough confidence in himself, and you've seen that start to take over in the last, you know, couple years, and the stuff he did last year was, you know, I think the start of what you're going to see consistently for a long time.
Joe Musgrove on with Ben and Woods earlier this morning, talking about a lot of different things. Interesting conversation about Mason Miller potentially converting to starter. That was him talking about Adrian Morahone and the progress that he has made. I would like to see an Adrian Morahone contract extension this offseason.
Would be nice.
That'd be nice on the priority list. What about playing for Craig Stammen, a guy that he played with for a little bit of time here in San Diego, knows him well. Now he is the manager of the San Diego Padres. Here's what Joe Musgrove had to say about playing for Craig.
I'm excited about it, man. I think everyone in this clubhouse knows Craig well. They know him as a person. They know him as a competitor and a player. And I think he's, you know, recently enough removed from the game to still have a really good pulse on what's happening in the clubhouses and, you know, the direction that the game's going. I think having Ruben by his side is massive for us. You know, I think you guys have talked about it on the show a couple times I've heard, but, you know, the hardest thing to do in baseball is manage a bullpen and manage a pitching staff. And I think having both of those guys at the helm of it is going to do a lot of good for the health of our guys and keeping them fresh and, you know, maybe challenging our starters a little more than we did in the year past. So I'm super excited about it. The guys that I've talked to on the club are super excited. And, you know, I think Craig's going to be, you know, motivated to win and do big things in this role.
The bullpen and the pitching staff are definitely in great hands, Frank, with him and Ruben Niebla at the top, and that's one of the hardest things to do in Major League Baseball, but a big reason why he got the job in the first place.
Yeah, and that was one thing we talked about a lot last year, was how much the bullpen, especially the back end of the bullpen, guys like Jason Adam and guys like Robert Suarez were being relied on. Like, going into the All-Star break, they were around 45 appearances, which is ridiculous. Going into the All-Star break. So it'll definitely help with the pitching staff for sure, and I think you'll get a lot more of the load spread out over the bullpen, across the bullpen over the course of the year.
One more for you. Obviously, with a lot of stuff with the ownership potentially being up for sale, the team being up for sale, you know, I think a lot of fans think that players get distracted by it. They asked Joe, does he get distracted by that kind of news? Here's what Joe had to say.
I don't know that affects me a whole lot as a player. You know, obviously there's desires that you have as a player. You want an owner that's willing to spend money and put a good product on the field and take care of people in the organization and do the things that the best organizations do. But as a player, you have such a small time in the game that regardless of what scenario I'm in, you know, I'm going to do everything I possibly can to win because this is the only chance I have. There's a lot of what ifs and things you can, you know, hope for, but this is the reality of what I have and the time that I'm playing, and I got to make the most of it. And I think a lot of guys in the clubhouse have the same approach when it comes to, you know, who owns the team. Obviously, there's a lot of things that we would love to see happen, but, you know, that's out of our control. And you still have to go out and try to compete with who you got on your team and how the organization's run. So I think that's more how you view it as a player.
Yeah, you got to be able to go out there and just worry about yourself and worry about what you can control. And when you start worried about things you can't control, it doesn't really work out for you in terms of overall life. So a good perspective there by Joe Musgrove. When we come back, let's talk about the public opinion about this potential lockout and labor negotiations. What an MLB report. We'll get to it when we come back on the Braden Soprenet Show, San Diego Summer Sports Station, 97.3.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. I don't want to make this joke. I want to make the joke, but I don't want to make the joke about Penn State.
Just make the joke.
What did Luis Camposano go for last year? 0 for 24 or something like that? That's Penn State. I'm trying to find a head coach right now. Ayo. That's not fair. That's not fair to Camposano. He only had 24 opportunities. And he raked it in El Paso. Kind of a cheap shot to Camposano there, but the kind of awesome. Anyway, when we come back at noon. It's already noon. These shows are flying by for not having any Padres baseball like that. Coming up at noon, I fix college football. I got to share this document with you. The problem is there's a bunch of other stuff on there for like high school football, but the first page is the deal.
Gotcha.
You could see all my work on this. Here, I'm going to share with you right now.
I trust you. You don't have to share it with me.
No, I want you to be able to pull from it.
Is it just a big Penn State sucks?
No,
first page or is
no,
that
no?
Is that why you need me to say it?
No, I can explain stuff to you on how I fix college football with dates and stuff. I'm still figuring it out.
Okay. Oh, bloody Nora.
Oh okay. Yeah, it's. I'm telling you, I don't just mess around when it comes to this. 0 for 25. Kalific was on it. Prolific was on it. Juan Ruiz. Per 24/7 Sports, USC has clinched the number one recruiting class. Wow, how exciting. Yep, there you go. Take that for what it's worth. All right, what do we got on this Major League Baseball 2026-2027 CBA war, Frank?
So, apparently, League Baseball has formed a 90-person fan council composed largely of dedicated, highly engaged fans with many significant social media followings. The group meets monthly via video call with MLB executives, while most past meetings have focused on harmless topics. The November session...
Pat design, social media strategy.
Exactly.
All that stuff.
The November session stood out because the league presented on competitive balance, a topic deeply tied with MLB's upcoming collective bargaining agreement fight with the Players Association. Fans and experts believe that MLB may be using the council to test messaging and influence public opinion ahead of the labor negotiations.
All right, so most of these meetings have been harmless, but then in November, they talked about competitive balance and the payroll disparities, and then how money correlates to winning, which is important because the owners are trying to push for a salary cap in 2027, and may lock out the players as the CBA expires in December of 2026. Many council members were like, felt MLB was just sharing stats. It was testing messaging, sharing public opinion, soft launching the argument that they will use against the players. Key elements from that presentation, according to the people that attended this, the fans that were on this fan council, not the biggest fan, but the fans of the fan council. Biggest fan will be at one. So stay tuned for that. Major League Baseball compared the Dodgers' $415 million payroll to the Cowboys, knowing the NFL has a cap and everybody plays by the same rules. I would agree with that. MLB showed graphs tying spending to on-field success more so than in other sports.
And if you're a social media influencer, how do you not love a good graph?
Oh, yeah, they love the graphs. They love the graphs. I love graph. I love lamp. Fans inevitably asked about the salary cap, even though Major League Baseball said it wasn't a labor discussion. League executive Glenn Kaplan ran the presentation and framed it as, quote, fan feedback, not CBA prep. Fans are allowed to talk publicly about the meetings, but screenshots are banned, and MLB wouldn't release the slides. Release the slide files. The slides. The slides. We're worried about the PowerPoint presentation? Come on. Come on. Reaction was mixed from the fans. Some fans saw the presentation as innocent fact-sharing. We like to call those people oblivious. Yeah. Others felt it was a clear move to shape public perception heading into labor talks. We like to call those people conspiracy theorists. Why target influencers? Oh, God.
Why not?
Influencers love to talk. Most council members have social media followings from 1,200 people to 17,000 followers. They create content that reaches online fan bases, could be used as organic PR voices supporting MLB's messaging. Some fans, including a Rockies supporter, openly said they support a salary cap and believe payroll imbalance is out of control. Others said the real fight isn't about balance, it's about money, and owners are preparing a PR campaign. Major League Baseball's Players Association has not commented, but players historically oppose a salary cap and argue teams can already spend more if they want. Everybody loves spending other people's money that they don't have.
My favorite thing to do, honestly.
It's my favorite thing to do. I love spending other people's money, and I love not spending mine. Which is everybody on this planet. Big picture here. MLB appears to be messaging to players privately, messaging to fans through council, and preparing to frame the salary cap as a competitive balance issue, not a money grab. Some fans buy that. Some think it's manipulation. MLB says it's simply listening to its most dedicated supporters. What do you think? I think it's a little bit of both.
I would agree. It's interesting to do this with social media influencers because, again, they will not shut up and they will give their point of view and they will. This was bound to leak out because social media influencers do not know how to keep their mouth shut. Again, I think a salary cap is coming. I don't think that this is something that Major League Baseball needs to message in a positive spin. I think everyone's gotten to the point now where they're seeing what the Dodgers are doing, seeing how no one else is able to compete with it, and are getting fed up with it. This is something that is going to happen. And again, as I've mentioned before, this is not 1994 where players and owners, where the owners are going to shy away from this. They're digging their heels in. They are prepared for a fight. And I think the messaging that needs to be done is not, okay, the salary cap is good and here's why. It's here is why this is worth missing a season of Major League Baseball for. That should be the messaging, not, hey, the salary cap is good. It's, this is why it's worth missing a season over.
Here's my thing on this again. Okay, I think the messaging is to try to convince fans that I think they're trying to win the public opinion thing. Okay, like both sides try to do all the time. And the Players Association will have something where everybody's going to be like, you know, treat the play. They're going to feel like the players are a bunch of blue-collar workers in a coal mine. That's going to be their messaging, like it is all the time. And the player and the owners are always like, we're trying to go competitive balance. I mean, both sides are trying to look for more money, which I understand. From a baseball fan perspective, this is why I always say I'm in the middle. Because I want what's best for the sport that I like to watch. And for me, the sport that I love to watch would be better with a salary cap because it would make things more competitive. So that happens to be on the benefit of the owner side right now. I really don't care how the money works out. I don't care how much money the players make. I don't care how much money the owners make. They can make, I don't, negotiate whatever you want. But as somebody that watches the sport, and what I want to see in all of sports is you want to see the sport as competitive as possible. Am I wrong with that?
No, not at all.
Am I wrong with that? The players can make their own league. I respond to that every single time. They can make their own league. I watch the teams play. Yeah, I do watch the players, but the owners run the league. And they inherit all the risk. There's both sides to this. This is the same thing with business owners and the employees they have. The business owners inherit all of the risk.
JH in the chat, do you watch the players or the owners? You watch, you root for the owners. You're rooting for the team.
You're rooting
you watch
for the
players.
You watch the players.
You root for the owners.
Yeah. The Dodgers players are good players. They're nice guys. Why don't you root for them? I want balance. I don't really care how it goes. I don't really, and everybody in Major League Baseball is making more money than they really need when you look at the grand scheme of things. They really do. So for me, as a baseball fan, again, to me, I want everything to be equal in terms of competitiveness. You should not have a competitive advantage by being richer, wealthier. Wealthier teams should not get an advantage over the not as wealthy teams in a competition sport. The sport is about competition, and the rules need to be the same. You're not seeing leagues where certain teams get extra players on the field than other teams. You have to make them all play by the same rules. And if that means a salary cap, that means a salary cap and a salary floor. However they want to pay these guys is fine with me. I don't really care. They're all making money. All of them. All making money. And sure, they want to fight for more money. The players do. That's their right. Owners want to fight to keep more of the money. That's their right. But for me, as the consumer, I want to watch competitive baseball. I want to see teams have a fighting chance for players in free agency. I want to see teams have a fighting chance every year in the division. I want to see the competition level like the NFL has. When the NFL did not have a salary cap, who was winning all the Super Bowls, Frank? Dallas, San Francisco.
Pittsburgh.
Well, Pittsburgh's not a huge market.
No, it's not a huge market.
But teams that were spending a lot more than the other ones, and then since they implemented the salary cap and and all that stuff that they have, you got markets like Kansas City making a lot of money. Or sorry, winning a lot of games. You got random markets out there competing at a high level. The strategy involved is great. Oh, I just spent $700 million on Ohtani. Now I only have $20 million left to fill out the roster. Teams would be like, what are we going to do now? But I think a lot of the problem with the salary cap for the players is they want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to get paid the most and also not be on a bad team. That's fine. They can argue for that. But to me, what makes the league, what's going to make the league the best, and same thing with hockey. We could bring up the hockey situation all the time. I got to go back and watch it, but they had regional TV deals in hockey that were super unbalanced. Most of the Canadian teams had issues because of the value of the U.S. dollar versus the Canadian dollar. Complex issue for hockey. they implemented a salary cap and it's thriving. You got all these teams being able to compete. You got a salary cap, you got a salary floor, players are making money, owners are making money. It's going to benefit everybody. What's not going to benefit everybody, and Ben had the best comparison of it all, you don't always want a bigger percentage of a smaller pie. Sometimes you want a smaller percentage of a bigger pie. And that's what the baseball can have if they can agree on this money. But the problem is both sides get very greedy in this sense and dig their heels in, and then you get these massive labor negotiations. But for me, again, I'm not rooting for either side. What I'm rooting for is for competitive balance in the sport. And whatever gets me that is what I hope happens. Stuff by Major League Baseball, I'm sure the data that they they displayed is probably biased. I'm sure there's a lot of biased data in there, but that's the thing with data. That's the thing with statistics. You can manipulate statistics any way you want. They're still facts, but you can manipulate them any way you want. And I bet you Major League Baseball, with this little fan thing that they did, is manipulating to a sense where it looks really drastically different than where it probably is, which is probably in the middle when it comes to the competitive balance. But as of right now, what I do know, Frank, has been reported, or as we've looked back at a lot of the payrolls, and people go back, well, the Royals won a World Series. Yeah, but they were top 10 in payroll when they won a World Series. Since 2001 or 2002, whenever the Marlins won their last World Series, every team that has been in the world, every team that's won a World Series has been top 15 in payroll, top half of payroll. You can't ignore that fact. That needs to be fixed. I'm going to fix college football when we come back. Wish me luck. Braden Suprenet Show, noon hour, when we come back. That's a wrap for today's episode of the Braden Suprenet Show. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and favorite us on the Odyssey app. And remember, you can always catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube page at B_SURP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.